Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord himself is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. In that day you will say, give praise to the Lord. Proclaim his name. Make known among the nations what he has done, and proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing to the Lord, for he has done glorious things. Let this be known to all the world. Shout aloud and sing for joy, people of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel among you.
Jen, thanks for your comments. There's a Bonhoeffer quote in the Advent calendar, which I'm sure you guys have seen. Life in a cell, in his quote, life in a cell was like life in general. And he said the cell door can only be opened from the outside. And it's a great quote for Advent. Imagine how you would feel if our nation continued down the road toward authoritarianism. Imagine how you'd feel. Try that on. We cozy up to China, North Korea, Russia, Turkey, and other countries like that. We give our family members key spots in the government. Ranking government individuals, leaders, line their pockets with money from people they govern. You have in that a pretty good picture of life in Israel and Judah. I didn't really used to pay so much attention in what was going on in the Old Testament prophets versus our own country, versus what was happening in my life, and how relevant those prophets might have been. But I have come to a point in my life where I feel like I'm reading the New York Times when I read the prophets. It just feels that way. I didn't have this in my notes, but I just wanted to kind of give you an Isaiah view of what's going on. In chapter 8, the Lord says to Isaiah, get a large tablet and write on it in common characters, Mahar Shalal Hashbaz. Trips off the tongue, doesn't it? Mahar Shalal Hashbaz, which means speed the spoil and hasten the prey. It was a sign that was supposed to be put up where everybody could see it. Picture a billboard as you come down the 99 where you see Mahar Shalal Hashbaz. And what Isaiah was saying through God to his people was, this is what is about to happen to you. You're about to be the spoil. You're about to be the prey because of political decisions that your people are making. Chief among them was the fact that Israel had actually cozied up to Assyria. Assyria was the big 500-pound gorilla in world politics. They were ruthless. They were militarily strong. And Israel's thinking, their leaders are thinking, boy, if we cozy up to Assyria, they will not bother us, right? But such did not happen. 722 BC, Assyria sweeps down and takes away half of the nation of Israel, actually in land mass and people, more than half. In chapter 9, that was chapter 8, in chapter 9, God says, there will be no gloom for those who were in anguish. In the former time, he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. That's the northern tribes. That's what Assyria has done. But in the latter time, he will make glorious the way by the sea, the land beyond Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them the light has shined. So in the midst of this gloomy political situation is this word of hope. That God's got something else in mind. He's got something else in mind for you. In chapter 10, a warning to Judah. Listen to this. Listen to how current this is. Ah, you who make iniquitous decrees. Iniquitous meaning bad or evil decrees. Who write oppressive statutes and turn aside the needy from justice and to rob the poor of my people of their right. This is what was going on. He says that widows may be your spoil, that you may make the orphans your prey. What will you do on the day of punishment, in the calamity that will come from far away? And now Isaiah has moved from Assyria and the northern tribes, and now he's talking about the southern tribes. And he's saying to them, you're in the gun sights now. You're the ones that need to be thinking about the way that you live your life and treat your people. Chapter 11, verse 1. He says, a shoot shall come from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And now Isaiah has trained his sight on the future. Because Israel, Judah, actually, will never see this. This promise never comes to Israel and Judah. Because God is thinking in long terms now. Well, that brings us to our text that Rich read to you. Chapter 12, he says, you will say thanks. You will say in that day, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, for though you were angry with me, your anger turned away, and you comforted me. So everything that's happened, you know, with Babylon, 586 BC, coming into the nation, destroying the temple, barbaric, horrible people, cannibalism going on in the city of Jerusalem, death everywhere. And Isaiah says, again, thinking about the future, on that day, you're going to say, thanks be to the Lord. Because of that. Because of Messiah. Because of the shoot from the stump of Jesse. Well, Jim and I were talking about this a little bit. I really think that Christians today need to pay attention to this. Because it's as contemporary as anything that you could read in the Bible. We need to take great attention when it comes to the poor and the disenfranchised. We need to pay particular attention when it comes to people who lead us in the government who are corrupt and do awful things. Do we just sit around and sort of yawn and say, oh well, here's another one? Or do we write outraged letters and do we pray prayers of God save us from this? What do we do? Do we take within our power whatever power we have to say, I don't agree with this? Maybe it's in visiting a nursing home. Maybe it's in gifts that we give to the Meadows. Maybe it's in charities that we subscribe to, like Habitat, or the list goes on. What do we do? I think Isaiah is calling for us to wake up, to be alert. There's something about Advent as well. Advent is not Christmas lights. Advent is not happy clappy. Advent is meditation. Advent is prayer. Advent is thoughtfulness. Advent is thinking about what God is doing in the world. That's the whole purpose of Advent. Well, Adam Harrelson tells a story about having a Christmas pageant at the seminary he was at. And he decided that instead of having a Christmas pageant that everybody comes to watch, that everybody in the audience would participate. And so he bought or he rented 150 costumes. And on the day of the pageant, the people came and they took a roll. So the president of the school donned a shepherd's robe. Three women professors put on the crowns of the Magi. Three Virgin Marys showed up, and one Joseph. We had a camel costume that required two people. Somebody had to play the rear end of the camel. And Harrelson, he says, was the stage director. He told the Christmas story, encouraging everyone to act their parts. At each movement of the story, he told each character, "And now you say," as everyone played their part and felt comfortable in their role, they stopped taking his stage directions and started to act it out themselves. Wouldn't you have loved to have been there? Suddenly, without planning, the donkey started dancing with the Blessed Virgin, and within moments, the whole of the pageant decided to join them. The musician broke into Go Tell It on the Mountain, and without planning or foresight, on the eve of the finals, everyone danced and sang together, Harrelson said. Isaiah 12 is kind of like that. Instead of Adam Harrelson, there is this other director here who says, "You will say in that day," that's the direction, "I will give thanks to you, O Lord, for though you were angry with me, your anger turned away and you comforted me." That's verse 1. And then in verse 3, the director says, "With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation, and you will say in that day, give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make known his deeds among the nations, proclaim that his name is exalted." And you can almost see people breaking into dance as they start thinking about what the Lord has done. Of course, today we're thinking about what the Lord has done in Christ, but we're also thinking about what the Lord will do when He comes to completely claim and restore His creation and His people, and everything is as God wants it to be. It occurs to me that one of the things that Advent does is it wakes us up. It makes us think. And particularly to think about the mission of God, the Missio Dei, the mission of God. What is God doing in the world? What would happen if I quit thinking about myself and started thinking about the mission of God? What a novel concept. Advent gives us opportunity to do that. It gives me a new orientation. I'm thankful today that the kingdom of God was manifesting itself and more people being able to vote. Or the poor and the sick and the disenfranchised have been given a greater place in our world. Or our governments work for the good of the people. I think that's what happens when you start thinking about Advent. I really think that's what Isaiah wanted his people to think about. What's the mission of God? What's God doing in the world? How does our political situations stack up against what God wants? Advent is shallow and contrived if we only think about what makes us happy. It's an altogether different thing when we dwell on God's work in the world. That's what He wants us to do. Let's pray. Dear Father, in this time before a national holiday, may we rich, privileged Americans think about the ways that we see Your footprints in this world. Help us to take our eyes off ourselves. In Jesus' name, amen.